Have you ever considered going abroad to earn your MBA? Sounds like the thrill of a lifetime. But what about the risks? I'm Diana Jordan with MBA Podcaster, and we'll examine the pros and cons of going abroad for an MBA. We'll hear from Janet Shaner, who is the Director of MBA Marketing at IMD in Switzerland.
It's important to consider, why do you want to study overseas? And what unique things are you going to bring that make you attractive a program?
Antonia Fatas, the dean of INSEAD's MBA program, reflects on the role of the school as it pertains to the global marketplace.
Being abroad, being surrounded by people who come from different backgrounds is part, from our point of view, of the learning experience that an MBA should provide.
We'll hear that English is the language of business, and we'll explore whether you need to be multilingual, and we'll check on future job opportunities. Kurt Wood is Director of Marketing and Admissions for the MBA programs of Rotterdam School of Management at Erasmus University.
The hottest people on the job market these days speak several languages and are mobile.
Susan Kibler became a recruiter after graduating from IMD in 2002 and is now a partner at Longbank, a private equity firm in New York.
The reason I was so drawn to an international MBA is that the students tend to be older, and therefore they bring a depth of experience and a wealth of knowledge and stories and whatnot to the table.
And if you get to choose your MBA overseas, how do you pick the right school? We'll hear from a student, Lily Yeo, an MBA candidate for 2006 at IMD in Switzerland.
Look for fit. You're going to be networking with these people for a lifetime. So find a school that really truly fits your whole profile.
I'm Diana Jordan with MBA Podcaster. Stay tuned.
Support for MBA Podcaster comes from Veritas Prep, an elite GMAT preparatory program developed at Yale University, where students learn deconstructive strategies to attack the exam with confidence and skill. Armed with over 1,400 pages of materials, 15 computer adaptive practice tests, and live instruction from an exclusive 99th percentile scoring faculty, Veritas students score higher. They gain an advantage over other business school applicants by attending a 42-hour GMAT course, more than twice as long as the leading competitor's course. Veritas also offers admissions consulting with former MBA admissions officers from Harvard, Stanford, Wharton, Kellogg, Yale, and other top MBA programs. MBA Podcaster listeners receive a $150 discount on any Veritas GMAT course, private tutoring, or MBA admission school package by registering with the code POD150. Learn more at veritasprep.com.
What qualities must an MBA candidate possess in order to successfully study overseas? Kurt Wood with RSM Erasmus has a profile.
Dynamic people, outgoing people, people who are rigorous. This is the old world, and so they're going to encounter very, very solid academic principles, and self-discipline is going to be very key. And the people who are adventurous, I mean, really able to throw themselves to the wind and kind of go for it. Traveling outside of the U.S., which is my case. I'm an American who's studied and traveled abroad and now worked abroad and began to build a life outside of the U.S. I think you need to really be prepared for anything, so a bit of an adventurer.
Janet Shaner, Director of MBA Marketing at IMD in Switzerland, has more.
First of all, the person has to have, in general, an interest and a curiosity about going abroad, about meeting new people from other cultures, about dealing maybe with different languages. So they're interested in that kind of thing and want to learn more. The second thing is somebody who perhaps wants to develop or build on an international business career. So somebody either who has worked abroad already and wants to continue in that capacity, or somebody who would like to start to build their international business career, which could be then further used either living and working abroad continuing or bringing that back to the U.S., but just having a greater understanding of international business, which is important, especially now when the world is really becoming more global.
Let's check in with Lily Yeo for a student's perspective. Lily is a 2006 MBA candidate, an American who speaks five languages.
After having talked with friends who have all gone to the top 10 MBA schools, which is what I was targeting, they said, look for fit at that level. You're not going to be trying to determine who's got the better professor and in what specific subjects, but really where the school fits you. You're going to be networking with these people for a lifetime. So find a school that really truly fits your whole profile.
That sounds very daunting to me. How do you even begin that kind of search?
You start with the rankings. And actually, that's how I found IMD. Prior to that, I never even knew about the school because they don't have a strong brand equity in the States. With that said, then they did a profile on IMD, actually, because it was number one. It's been that way for a while in the international circuit. And I read on the profile, and it really seemed to attract me because they have a slightly older pool of students versus an average U.S. school, so 31 years old average age versus 27 in the U.S. I was 29 at the time already and 30 when I entered the program. Also, in terms of international experience, the profile of students had worked overseas before and lived overseas. They speak an average of about 4 to 5 languages, so that totally, completely fit my profile.
Susan Kibler, who graduated from IMD in 2002, had other considerations as she evaluated whether to get her MBA in the States or go overseas.
The reason I was so drawn to a European MBA is that the students tend to be older, and therefore they bring a depth of experience and a wealth of knowledge and stories and whatnot to the table. And everyone always says that you learn as much from the students as you do from the faculty and in any MBA. And I think that that is so true. So I was looking for a program where the students would have that knowledge and wouldn't be just right out of college.
What are any special considerations that Americans should keep in mind if they want to study overseas?
It's important to consider, why do you want to study overseas? And what unique things are you going to bring that make you attractive to a program? First of all, a school's alumni network is often a key reason why you choose a school. And alumni networks for international programs are typically very international themselves. They have alumni from around the world, and typically you meet people from around the world. Some other, I would say more regional programs, would have alumni networks, some international, but some really focused on one specific country. So if you want to go back to that particular country, especially in the short term, sometimes it's more interesting or more appropriate to try to build those kinds of networks. So first consideration to think about, well, what kind of people do I want to meet and what kind of people or network do I want to build through the MBA program that I'm going to attend? Second thing to think about or to keep in mind is, you know, when you move to another country, it's an adjustment and you have to be open and you have to be flexible to making those adjustments. So are you willing to be open? Are you willing to recognize, no, things don't operate just the same as they do here in the United States? And that's something I really want to experience and enjoy and try to understand. So those are a couple of questions I would ask. Let's say if you are an MBA yourself, thinking about, what do I want to do when I consider selecting a school and selecting an international school?
Kurt Wood at RSM Erasmus, do you have a sense of which students will succeed once they're admitted to your school?
It is difficult to predict. We have a very rigorous interview process here at RSM Erasmus, and you know, clearly a lot of the questions are going to revolve around, you know, do you know what you're getting into? Are you prepared to make a change in your life? But I must say, there are those who you would suspect would immediately take to a life outside of the U.S. or abroad, and they flounder a bit. We don't have too many failures here on the program. And yeah, there are definite surprises. One of the assumptions you don't make is that an extroverted person is necessarily going to do the best on an MBA program. Sometimes the quieter ones are sort of slow burners, and they actually are able to maybe learn a little bit of the Dutch language, which isn't necessary for our program, but it does help you culturally living here and in terms of adjustment issues. And they just sort of come out of nowhere, and they find themselves in this environment, and they just flourish. And yeah, we get those surprises all the time, definitely.
What are the advantages and the challenges of going overseas versus staying in the U.S.?
I think one of the biggest advantages, and what eventually I'm living out now, is that it gives you an amazingly global view, much more than what you can get in the States. And I think you have to get outside of the U.S. to truly understand global business in a truly global context. So in our class, we have 90 students and 45 nationalities represented. You are forced to have to look at the same issue, be it supply chain, marketing, finance, what have you, but looking at it from the eyes of very different countries, and particularly as the world goes global. To me, that's the most invaluable thing I would get from an outside of the U.S. MBA. Now, in terms of disadvantages, certainly if you are gearing to go back to the U.S. right away, the schools that have grander brand equity, i.e. the London Business School, for instance, or INSEAD, certainly is a lot easier. You'll still have the coastal cities certainly getting them more resonance with those brands. But that'd probably be the hardest fight for students who are studying abroad.
What are the disadvantages of getting an MBA overseas?
Brand visibility for the institution that you choose may be an issue. You may not be as well known as a certain, let's say, the top 10 U.S. institutions. So you have to sell your diploma to a certain extent. But again, I mean, I think that in today's global marketplace, studying and working abroad is just essential to an international career. Any drawback seems to me quite minor compared to how valuable an international educational experience is.
Put the question to Antonia Fatas, the dean of INSEAD's MBA programs.
Are there any particular drawbacks that you see for Americans studying abroad?
No, because even U.S. corporations today, even when they're looking at talent, even just for the U.S. market, I think that they appreciate very much the international experience that American students will get abroad, because it's very hard to think about any corporation in the U.S. that would have absolutely no link to a market outside of the U.S.
What are the drawbacks for Americans who study overseas?
One drawback is that if you're studying overseas, if you want to come back immediately and get a job in the U.S., sometimes the U.S. recruiters or companies are not so aware of the international program. So it's not that they're not open to them, it's just you have to do some work at educating them about what program did you go through, about what are the benefits of this particular program relative to the job that they're going to hire you to do. I think the second thing is, again, thinking back about your network, if you say to me, I really want to spend most of my life in the U.S. and really focus my career there, U.S. programs really also develop a very much U.S.-centric alumni network. And that's often helpful in the long run, getting jobs or having people help you with advice or just building, even if it's alumni clubs and people that you associate with afterwards. Whereas if you consider an international program, it's what I said, you have a very international network. So you definitely have contact with people around the world, but you may have fewer people that you have contact with specifically in the U.S.
What are the special considerations that Americans should keep in mind if they want to study overseas?
Most of the overseas programs are shorter, which I would say to many people look at as a benefit, but they also tend to be much more rigorous for the reason they have to jam a lot more into a short period of time. And so people with families or spouses, it can sometimes be very, very stressful. Even without a spouse, it can be very, very stressful. And often when you're abroad, you may not have the support network that you would have if you were at home or living near family. It is assumed that you have some kind of international experience when you go to these programs, although I have seen students who don't have any, and I think that is a particular challenge for U.S. students who haven't had international experience being thrown into a real mixing pot. But it takes the right person with an open mind and the ability to accept others for, you know, sometimes different backgrounds and whole different ways of looking at the world.
What are some of the challenges that might face applicants who are choosing to go abroad? For example, language or the fact that the programs are usually done in 1 year versus two?
Well, the 1 year versus two, from our point of view, is not so much about being international, being a foreigner. It's so much about being prepared and coming with some professional experience. And that's, I think, is a requirement for us to go through a 1 year program like ours. The issue of language, obviously, again, is a barrier because you might go to a country where the language is not the language you speak. So they have to be people who are ready for the challenge. And again, through our application process, we tend to select those people. And yes, there are people who might apply to us who either don't get admitted or we even might discourage them because we don't feel they're ready to be in an environment where people don't speak their language or where people have ideas which are very different from theirs.
Kurt Wood says speaking two or three or more languages is value added because of the international market for MBAs. So if you're targeting an international position, speaking many languages gives you an enormous amount of power and flexibility. It's a plus, he says, not a requirement.
I just cannot emphasize enough how important my language skills are. Even if you don't have full fluency in a language, I think it still opens so many doors. Behind language is culture, and culture is the key to success in so many things. That's one of the features of our MBA program here is the international nature. The language is a tool, but it allows you to go deeper into the culture, to the behaviors and the motivations of people. And that's where you're really able to function more effectively on an international scale.
Here's Lily's take, a student who speaks five languages.
You're in a very global context. You're dealing with very global issues. The recruiters that come hire for different countries. So having a much wider range of languages gives you a lot more portability in terms of where you can be hired for.
What about those hybrid programs where you can spend a year in the U.S. and then a year abroad?
I think it's a great option. We don't do that. We ask that all of our MBA participants go through the program. At an executive level, we have a program called One MBA, which is actually five international institutions. It's Rotterdam School of Management, the Fundação Getúlio Vargas in Brazil, the Tec de Monterrey in Mexico. We work with Chinese University, Hong Kong, and the University of North Carolina. And that allows these executives to actually study in five different institutions around the world.
What about hybrid programs where you can spend 1 year in the U.S. and 1 year abroad? What do you think of those?
Our own program, because we have two campuses, one in Fontainebleau in France and one in Singapore, about 75% of our students, in fact, spend time on both continents, Asia and Europe. And on top of that, because we have an alliance with Wharton, they have an opportunity to do the exchange with Wharton, and they spend 2 months out of the year in the U.S. So a good number of them, in fact, spend during this 10-month MBA program time in three different continents, America, Europe, and Asia.
The overseas programs are about a year. U.S. programs take two, which was one of Lily Yeo's considerations.
It is a much smaller global marketplace, and so you're basically making a short-term risk for a long-term gain in studying overseas.
That's the idea, or choosing the option that has a lower opportunity cost, as we say in business. When you go to school, you forfeit, in addition to the cost of the school itself and the expenses, you also forfeit a year or 2 years of income. So most U.S. schools take 2 years, and so you lose out on 2 years of income. That's the opportunity cost that you forfeit. So the European schools, and a huge draw of them is that you have a much less opportunity cost, and that way you get back into the market faster.
Once a student has graduated from an overseas program, what opportunities are available to them back in the U.S.?
When someone's targeting an MBA program outside of the U.S., they need to look at the alumni network of the particular institution, and also the corporate network, the type of companies. And I know that we have a ton of our MBA graduates who've gone on to the U.S. to work. But generally, they're international in scope, which means they end up moving around to many different countries.
That's Kirk Wood with RSM Erasmus. Here's Antonio Fatas of INSEAD.
How easy is it for students of your school to get jobs, to be placed, to be recruited to companies in the U.S. and around the world?
We reach about 400 recruiters around the world, and we have our alumni all over the world, including the U.S. So we still probably have the majority of our students finding jobs in Europe, but we have a growing number of them who find jobs in Asia, and we've always had about 12% of our students who find jobs in the U.S., either because they come from the U.S. or simply because they have an interest in the U.S. But it's also the case that many of the American students that come through INSEAD, their first job might not be in the U.S. because one of the reasons why they come here is because they want to work somewhere else before they go back to the U.S.
Susan Kibler.
There are tons of opportunities now, and I think there are especially opportunities the higher you get up in businesses, because businesses that are even more traditionally U.S.-centric, like the one I joined after I graduated, J.M. Huber, through acquiring companies and through expansion, in essence become multinational. And the wonderful thing about candidates that have gone to an international MBA is that they're assumed, and hopefully rightly so, that they're able to deal with the sophistication of other cultures, other languages, and other backgrounds and different systems of doing business.
The world is becoming more global. What do you foresee in the near future?
Our applicants will have a very international mind when it comes to their career, as because what you said, the world is becoming more global, companies are becoming more global. First, they need to have a global perspective to understand even local businesses, but they also might have themselves a global view on their career. So going abroad is just one step in that, so like global career perspective, and it's also an opportunity, again, to meet people, to meet companies that are different, that come from different backgrounds, and it's an opportunity for them to develop the skills to manage and to lead in that multicultural environment.
Do you feel like you'll have a much bigger advantage having studied overseas?
I think so. I think having that global view, and not just out of case studies per se that we're reading. I have classmates who have served in functions in a majority of industries in many different countries that can speak specifically to those situations. And I have a much greater sensitivity to those global nuances from where I was before.
As a recruiter, Susan, what advice can you give students?
Most people, when they do an MBA, they want to change careers, or they want to change industries, or they want to change geography. And I've met students that want to change all of the above. And so we're really looking at skills that will translate across those changes. And people that have strong business sense, common sense, and work ethics, it's kind of easy to see where they'll fit in. But also, if they have an idea, a clear idea of where they want to go with their lives, it's much more compelling than someone who really doesn't know what they want to do.
I'm wondering what students today are learning on the international campuses that will form international relations.
When we teach in the classroom, which is we try to use as much as possible the diversity of our students to create not just great managers, great leaders, but also great citizens. I mean, we believe by exposing them to different views, and sometimes it's not views about business, it's views about politics, views about life. I mean, we're also forming good citizens that in the future can change societies and can go and can have an impact beyond the impact they will have on a business.
As a student, you really have your eye on the job before you even apply.
Absolutely. To go back to the IMD program, that we have 11-month program, which is a 2-year program in terms of content that they've squeezed to 10 months. So you don't have the luxury of taking a summer internship to decide where you want to be. You decide, hopefully, before, and when you recruit in targeted fashion. So that is definitely something that you should know prior to coming in for such a program as this.
What else do you want MBA students to know, Antonio Fatas?
What I would tell these people is that they should have a sense of adventure, look beyond their borders, and that would help us be even more diverse and more international than what we are today.
I'm Diana Jordan with MBA Podcaster. Stay tuned.
Support for MBA Podcaster comes from Veritas Prep, an elite GMAT preparatory program developed at Yale University, where students learn deconstructive strategies to attack the exam with confidence and skill. Armed with over 1,400 pages of materials, 15 computer adaptive practice tests, and live instruction from an exclusive 99th percentile scoring faculty, Veritas students score higher. They gain an advantage over other business school applicants by attending a 42-hour GMAT course, more than twice as long as the leading competitor's course. Veritas also offers admissions consulting with former MBA admissions officers from Harvard, Stanford, Wharton, Kellogg, Yale, and other top MBA programs. MBA Podcaster listeners receive a $150 discount on any Veritas GMAT course, private tutoring, or MBA admission school package by registering with the code POD150. Learn more at veritasprep.com.
For more information, advice, and to register for your weekly MBA podcast, visit MBAPodcaster.com. I'm Diana Jordan with MBA Podcaster. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned next time when we focus in on women and minorities who are planning on applying to business school. We'll talk to the experts to hear how you can prepare yourself for success on your applications and beyond.